Welcome to church. Welcome to the people that are back on holidays, me and the Petru family. Give them a hand. Yeah, that's good. It's always good to see people back. We still have our pastors on holidays. They will be back today. And so they can't wait to see you next week. And they give their love to you. And I'm pretty sure they're online today. But I want to say welcome. Welcome to our online family. And welcome. Why don't we give them a hand? It's always good to have people online. And we also want to say welcome to our new people this morning. You know, if you are new and you could have said hi to the team of people down there, but we want to give you some point of connection, some point of touch point this morning. So if you are new, please don't rush off. We'd love to give you a cup of coffee or tea or hot chocolate or whatever your flavor is. We would love to connect with you in that way and talk with our teams and some of our pastors here. But we want to just make sure that you are welcome, that you are here and that you belong, and we just want to say thank you for coming. Well, so last week I preached a word that's armor on, and my intention was that I was only going to do that once, and then I'm going to start a new series this week and then continue on and for the rest of the month. But I felt that I was preaching that word, I just felt God says to me, why are you glossing over this? And I think, okay, I really felt that, and confirmed by the other people when I hop off the stage, is that, you know, you should really do a series on this. So I will be doing that, and I think that it's good, because I don't know if you know, but we're in a battle. We're in a battle at the moment. We're in a spiritual battle. Whether you like it or not, you are in a battle right now. It may not be something that you don't see, because not every battle is seen, but every battle is spiritual. And so this morning I want to talk about and continue on to the series of Armor On, and why I want to make it practical for each and every one of us. Because at the end of the day, we can hear a lot of sermons, you can hear a lot of words, but if you don't apply it in your life, then it's not going to make a difference. Is that good? Yeah. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Marichelle, and I'm part of the team here. So if you have any questions, you can talk to me afterwards, and also with some of our team as well. So we're talking about the spiritual battle, but we have an armor. We have an armor of God that God has given us. It's nothing, it's no natural, it's supernatural. The weapons that God has given us is not ordinary, it's supernatural. And we got to figure out that, why did God give us this armor? These armor are not just for defense and protection. And we got to know that these weapons and armor that God has given us is not just for us to just put on whenever we need it. It says put on. It's a daily thing that we need to do. And so we need to know that this armor, we got to know that behind that armor, the victory's already been won. So we don't fight for victory, but we stand in a posture from victory. God's won the victory for us. And so you and I can have the position of going, you know what? God is with me. God is for me, and God will never leave me nor forsake me. And we know that the struggle is real. Anyone had a battle this week?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had a couple of them. Like, thing was all spiritual. And this is why we're talking about this today. You know, the struggle is real. The struggle and the battle that we have is spiritual. And it's not your neighbor, okay? It's not your husband or wife. And contrary to popular belief, sometimes when you argue, you think, oh, yeah, you know, get behind me, saying. It's not that. You know, it's about the fact that these are spiritual forces. You know, it's not your boss. It's not your kids. It's a spiritual attack. And so if we read this in Ephesians 6, and I want to preface this, and I'm going to sort of talk about it as I read it, okay? So it says, finally, finally. So in conclusion, after everything I have taught you, because remember, the Apostle Paul wrote this particular passage for the church in Ephesus. So this is his concluding remark. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Can I say that each and every one of us is going through a battle, but sometimes we do it in our own strength. We do it in our own power. Can I encourage you this morning that you need to lean in? You need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not your own power, not your own intellect, but in his. In him all things hold together. So it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and can I say to you that when is now, and it's getting stronger and stronger every time. When the evil day, when the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Then says verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which I talked about last week, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 says this, and pray in the Spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and be always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Can I just say to you, I don't know if you know, but we have a prayer team. I slipped up there just before the service, and man, they are so powerful. They are praying for you. They are praying for our nation. They are praying for our country. They are praying for the land of Australia, you know, that we get to see revival, that we get to see something in this nation, in the suburb of Logan. We are hungry for something to happen. And you know what we need to do is we need to take up. We need to take up the sword of the Spirit, and we need to pray. We need to pray. And I don't know if you know, but if you need prayer, you can always contact our office. We have every opportunity for you to ask for prayer. And we have some prayer requests there at the Ask Me desk. You can fill that out, and we will diligently pray for you. We don't just say, oh yeah, praying, and we just forget about. We will diligently pray for you. We will stand with you. We will stand for you. And that's what we do as a church. Now, last week, I gave you 3 points about the armor of God. So let me recap so you understand. Okay, so the armor is suitable and sufficient. The armor essential for survival. The armor is for safety and support. And today I want to focus on a particular weapon that's in there in Ephesians, and I want to focus on the weapon called the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Now, do you ever wonder why Paul started off by saying, put on the belt of truth? Or it says here actually, to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Because I don't know about you, but did you get up this morning, for those of you who wear belts, did you put on the belt first? Doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. In the natural realms, it doesn't make sense to put on your belt first, because I certainly didn't. I didn't put my belt first. I put all the other stuff on and then put it on. But to see the belt of truth, it talks about then, it's like a girding. The belt of truth is girding. And the belt of truth is actually the word of God. which I will talk about a little bit later. The Word of God is the belt of truth. So it's saying that you need to stand firm with the belt of truth, with God's Word, God's truth buckled around your waist. Because why? Because the truth of God is actually our foundation. This is our foundation. And so, put on the belt of truth. Now, I have some props here because I do like props. I rummaged through my cupboards, and this is some belts that I found in my cupboards. Now, you know, please don't laugh at me, but these are some belts, you know. Oh, look, there's some flowery stuff. Oh, that looks really good. You know, it's like the 80s belt, you know. You've got this kind of, you know, whatever, boho belt, whatever that is thing. You got, oh, look at this. Alana, you would love this. This is colorful, you know. What else? Oh, remember these. Hey, these are the 80s belt. This is where you kind of, you know, when you got a skirt on, you just put that in there and, oh, hang on, can't even. There you go. See, doesn't that look good? The belts. You know, we have an R.M. Williams belt. I didn't get to get Daryl's belt because his pants will fall off otherwise. Hey, look. I like one of these belts. I want to take this belt. Now, I always wanted to be... This is a tradie belt. Yeah. Yeah. I always wanted to be a tradie lady, you know. Put my hammer in there. I don't know. There you go. Looks good, right? Got the WD-40 going on. I got my tape. What else have I got? Oh, I got a stud finder here. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, I don't know. I can't find any stud in here. Okay, anyway. So, you got the tradie belt going on. Hey, look at this. What about some weighing in the corner? 240 pounds. The champion heavyweight belt. I don't know if this will fit me, but let's have a play. There you go. Okay, it doesn't. Hold, please. There you go. There you go. Weighing in the corner. 240 pounds. It's this big person. That's not really a big person. But this is the belt that you wear when you fight. You know, the boxing thing. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Daniel, you can get up here and put this belt on. Don't know if it's going to fit you because you're pretty bulky. So, you know, we have the belt. And then we have these other belts that I want to have a talk about. But, you know, the belts in all, you know, jokes aside, these belts are not the belt that Paul was talking about, okay? These belts are accessory belt. But the belt that God has given us for weapon is not no ordinary belt, it's a belt of truth. The belt of truth is the Word of God. And so what we must do is to put on the truth, the belt of truth. Now, this is another belt. Now, Daryl supposed to be wearing this because he works at Food Outlet, and he must wear this belt because there's things that he needs to carry, right? This belt is for support. And there you go. It's for support for his back because, you know, we need support in what we need to carry. Now, I believe God has given each and every one of us something, a vision, a mission, a destiny, a dream, and we can't carry these things on our own. So we need this belt for support. The belt is to stabilize, to support, and to strengthen. So wrap this belt around your waist. It talks about that. You know, this belt is all about being able to carry the weight of what needs to be carried. And as I said before, and I alluded that God has given each and every one of us something that we need to carry, but it's something that we can't carry on our own. We need the belt that stabilizes us, that strengthens us, and that supports us. And this is what the belt of truth does. Last week, some couple of girls came in the office and they're drumming up business in the gym across the road, and they said, hey, you know, we're giving away free passes, 7-day free pass, want to, you know, encourage you to get fit and everything like that. And I'm just looking to them and saying, do I have time for that? Nobody ain't got time for that. But anyway, I said, so what are your challenges? Oh, look, I have a, you know, sore back, and sometimes I need to, you know, I can't with my knee and everything like that. Said, you know what? We can help you, they said. We can help you because we can help you strengthen your core. Your core. And I said, okay, well, sign me up then. Don't know if I'm going to go, but here we go. Let's just have a look. So can I just say that the core is the center of your body. Now, this is another one that I want to show you, courtesy of TJ here, because he goes to the gym. Apparently, this belt, okay, I'm going to suck my stomach in, is to strengthen, is to support, it's a brace. So, like that. There you go. So that when you do something, carry weights, that you don't, your insides don't fall out, correct? Yeah? So, we want to wear. And this is the thing, if you know, if you think about it, we have the belt of truth so that what's inside of you that God has deposited won't fall out. What has God deposited inside of you? He's deposited a lot of things. He deposited the Holy Spirit inside of you. And if we're going to be courageous men and fearless women of God, then we must put the belt of truth on, because your core matters. Your core matters so that you'll be able to stand. You won't be swaying around. You won't be able to, you know, be tossed by the wind, but you'll be able to stand your ground. So I've talked about the belt of truth. But let's define what truth is, because there's different definitions. You know, the dictionary says this, the belt of truth, the truth, what is truth, is the quality. Oh, I was supposed to show you this, by the way, but anyway. What is the belt for? The belt sports. What is truth? The quality or state of being true. However, the best definition I've found is this. Truth, an objective standard by which reality is measured. Now, what, as Christians, what is the objective standard that which reality is measured? Is this. We measure it by the word of God. So when we talk about the word of God, the truth is the word of God. Even in John 17:17 says this, is that sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. So the belt of truth is the word of God. Because truth is not how you feel. Truth is not a matter of your opinion. Truth is not even what you believe. Truth is deeper than facts. Now, truth can include facts, but you can have facts and not know the truth. Truth is not subjective. It does not shift or change because of culture or what society says. And you know, what I find is this, when my kids go to school, they get taught facts, but not necessarily the truth. So this is why we don't just rely on the education system and the teachers, as great as they do in their job. We as parents, we as people that in our home, that we need to be teaching our kids the truth of God's word. And this is what I said to you last week when I had Ezekiel in here, is that as little as they are, whatever age Ezekiel is, you need to be teaching them the word of God right when they were born. right up to this, you know, it doesn't matter if they don't want to come into church or everything. You know, when our kids were little, they were just like laying in the front there, you know, sleeping, carrying on, but we still brought them. It is important for kids to be taught the Word of God. So because of that, there's some confusion and chaos, right? People don't know what the truth anymore and what is a lie anymore. Because truth is, it doesn't matter how sincere you are, because you can be sincerely wrong. Sometimes we think that truth are facts, and we think that we assume they are real, and we kind of put them together as truth. And like I said last week, one of the number one strategy that the devil uses in order, and it's from the beginning of time, is to distort what you have heard, is to question what God has told you in God's word, which is truth. The enemy comes in and attacks the truth. The enemy will sow in doubt and get you to question the truth. Did God really say? What the enemy is trying to do is he's trying to get you to take off, to release the belt a little bit. Like if I just do this, if I release that a little bit, it's loose, right? What he's trying to do is take you to release and take off a little bit of that by way of compromise. You know what I'm talking about? He says, oh, no, don't worry about that. It's okay. It's only little. It's not going to matter. Can I say it does matter? It does matter. So this is why it says put on, you know, gird, because this is the foundation of truth. What happens is if you release that belt of truth just a little bit by little bit, and then off you go, and then you've compromised your life. You know the truth, but you've compromised it. What's going to happen is that you might have the word of truth. You might take up the sword of the Spirit, but you won't be able to use it properly because you've released the belt of truth little by little. Psalm, let me explain this to you. For example, it says, God says, I have forgiven you. Psalm 103:12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions or our sins from us. And then Hebrews 8:12 says also this, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. But what does the enemy do? He slithers in a story. He slithers in your story and sows in deceit. And he'll tell you, well, if God forgave you, then you wouldn't be feeling guilty. You wouldn't be, you know, you keep doing the same thing. Why would you, you know, God's not going to forgive you. But the word of God says, and this is what the belt of truth does. If you have the belt of truth, if you have the word of God in you, you won't be able to succumb to that and say to him, no, not today. Say and fight back with Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who belong in Christ. That's how, when the belt of truth is girded around your waist, buckled around your waist, when the enemy comes and attacks you and deceives you and distorts the word of God and asks you, did God really say? You'll be able to say, yes, he did, because it is written. You'll be able to fight back, not by your intellect, not by your own opinions or whatever things that you're doing, but you can fight back with the word of God. The word of God is the weapon. And that's one of the things that we think that, oh, it's just the word of God, but it has power in it. And we need to gird our life with the word of God. John 8:44 says this, he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So what does he do? He will deceive you every day. So that is why if you release the belt of truth a little bit at a time, before you know it, you've fallen into sin. You've fallen into sin. And can I say, sin is, you know, it doesn't have to be big to call it a sin. In God's eyes, sin is sin. We don't measure it by, you know, they just stole something, or one's killed someone. It's not that. Sin is sin. So the devil deals in darkness and in deception. Once he has deceived you, and he will isolate you, he will, you know how this works. You've seen it happen, right? You've got friends. You've got people that you see that once had tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and all of a sudden they're like, where are they? They've been deceived and they've been isolated by the enemy, because when you're isolated and when you're in darkness, then that's when he will destroy what is inside you. And that is why it is so important that the belt of truth, we buckle it around our waist. You know, the belt of truth is designed to encircle us. Just as the belt is worn close to the body, we should hold God's truth close to us and allow it to surround us. When we remain in His Word, how do you remain in His Word? You read it daily. It doesn't have to be 5 hours, two hours, whatever. Even if you read it for 5 minutes, what you're doing is you're putting the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, in your spirit. The belt holds things together. So when you put on the belt of truth, what you're doing is you're encircling your life with God's truth. How? By abiding in His Word. John 15:4 says this, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Remain. Stay close, then you'll be fruitful. This is why the gathering of us on a Sunday is so important. You know, when you're online, that is a gathering. You know, that's why connect groups is so important, so that we don't fight this fight alone. Because we are being bombarded with lies every day. By abiding in God's truth and being in church, it opens our heart, it opens our spirit to receive the truth of God's Word, and it allows the Holy Spirit to wash us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because you and I want to know what we want to live for our lives. Remember, it's objective standard. What is that? It's the Word of God that we need to live by. It's not what we feel, it's not my opinion, but I want to know what's right for my life. And I get that with this. So I want to give you some points today. Number one, truth is absolute. We live in a world where people live by their own truths. You heard it before. I will speak my truth. You will speak your truth. Oh, there's another one. You do you. You do you. And that irritates me, because it's like, how? I don't even know what that really means, but you do you. You just look after yourself. You don't worry about what I'm thinking. You just do you. Here's the problem with that. It's not reality. When people say, you do you, or I speak my truth, what they're essentially saying is they're saying their truth from their experience. And we know that truth and experience are not the same. The reality is, if it's something is true, whether you believe it or not, the truth still stands. Let's take gravity, for example. Right? You know, I used to be 150 centimeters tall. I know that's really, you know, sad. And maybe 155 when I wear my heels. But now, I'm 147. That's really short. Now compared, if I stand next to Daniel, I'm just like, hello. But the thing is, the gravity says is what what is it? What goes up must come down. There are multiple views or interpretations of truth, but there's only one truth. There are multiple ways to express the truth, but there is one truth. And the truth is, Jesus is the only truth, the absolute truth. The idea of absolute truth is inseparable from the life of Jesus and from the Bible. Jesus defined himself as this, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in a world that drifts without absolutes, this word is actually an anchor for our soul. This, the word of God, represents the absolute truth. Because just because I insist on something that is true for me doesn't make it true at all. When it comes to the statement of truth is absolute, this is a challenge I'm finding. When it comes to millennials, Gen Zs and all the other Z's out there, whatever, our kids are actually growing up in that generation now. This is what they say. Something can be absolutely true for you, but totally untrue for me. Huh? How does that happen? When we talk about truth as absolute, how does that happen? How can we celebrate that? I know that this is not popular, but let me say this. For something to be true, something else has to be false. And the problem with that is we live in a world where we want to please people, want to, you know, make sure everyone is happy, don't want to offend anyone, and we don't want to challenge the truth. We don't want to call truth truth and lies a lie, because you know what will happen? You'll be banished. You won't have friends. And this is what's the problem with our society today, is that, you know, it's distorted. The truth is distorted by experiences, by your truth, their truth, and someone else's truth. The only truth that you need to listen to is the truth of the Word of God. And you need to make sure that that it's not mixed with some ideologies and some theologies and some citations and whatever things that you find, that it's not. That the standard of God's word is true. And like I said last week, the word of God will cut you. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It'll cut you. The intentions of your heart, you may fool people in church or whatever, your friends, but you can't fool God, because the standard is, the reality measured is from the Word of God. We need discernment in our life, because we live in a world where sadly people do not know what is true anymore. This is a challenge, and this is how Charles Spurgeon says this. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. And this is the challenge for us today. This is what we're dealing with today. Can you discern the truth? Can you discern what is right and what is almost right? Sometimes I sit there again. Have you ever talked to someone and you thought, oh, that doesn't sound quite right. But okay, I'll buy it. And you don't want to challenge that just because it's either your friend or something like that. You don't want to challenge that notion. So, can I encourage each and every one of us to wrap the belt of truth a little tighter and to be very careful on what you promote out there in social media? Because the truth that you see or hear, if you don't discern it, is not always the truth. It's got to be the truth when it is outside of who God is and what is clear in His Word. You need to know that. Number two, truth can be known. Can truth be known? Is a question people are asking, because we live in a world where people crave for truth. They desire truth. They're longing for truth. Truth is unchanging even though our beliefs about truth change. Let me give you an example. At one time, people believed that the earth was flat instead of round. The truth about that is that the earth didn't change, but they gained more knowledge, they gained more information about the earth, and their belief about the earth changed. You get what I'm saying? Augustine said this: we love the truth when it enlightens us, but we hate it when it convicts us. And I was thinking about this: how can truth be known? And I thought about four areas, and I want to quickly tell you, because I told you I want this to be practical for you. Truth can be known through creation. Romans 1:20 says this: for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You and I do not have an excuse to know God through creation. He created the world. It doesn't matter, you know, people say, oh, you know, the Big Bang Theory, you know, something exploded. No, God created. God created the world, and so we know that. Truth can be known through creation. Number two, truth can be known through conscience. Romans 2:15 says this: they show that the requirement of the law is written in our hearts, and their conscience are also bearing witness. So from the day that we are born, because we are created in God's image, God already has deposited in the word of God in us. Number three, truth can be known through God's commandments. Timothy 3:16 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out. It teaches us to do what is right. And then truth can be known through Christ. I know they're all starts with C because that's what I do. So you can remember. John 8:31, 32 says this: then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Knowing the truth comes from abiding in his word. And when you abide in his word, that literally means you need to stay close, in close proximity, to remain. That you don't just abide when you feel like it, or you just don't abide when you're going through a crisis or a problem, and that's when you go through the word of God. No. You know, Jesus is not Santa Claus. You know, you don't just get him when you want gifts and you want to know him. So John 14:6 says this: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I want you to notice this word, I am. Because it's not religion. It's not even ritual. It's not rules and regulations. Truth is a person. Truth is not principle. Truth allows us to follow God without deviating from the right path. Truth is relational. Truth is a person. Truth is defined by one thing, and truth is Jesus Christ. Now, truth, talk about that, truth is a person. If you follow God, if you follow Jesus, you will always be in truth. Because that's who he is. He is truth. And one of the fears and concerns that I have now in our generation is this. You know, you can know the word of God, but not know the God of the word. You can read this. I mean, can I say to you that Satan knows the scriptures? He can parrot it. He can say it. And we can do the same thing. But do we actually know intimately God for ourselves? Remember what I talked about last week? That Eve got deceived not because she was a woman. She got deceived because she did not know the word for herself. She did not know the God of the Word. So we need to wrap, to put on the belt of truth around our waist. Because you know why? We can be deceived at any time of the day. And I want us to be a church that is founded on truth. I want us to be a church that is, the foundation is Jesus. No other name, no other person out there, but be founded in Jesus. So that when we go on battle and we stand our ground, the truth of God's word is in us, which is the absolute truth. Let's break it down for a little further, shall we? In this church, we have different people. We have different cultures. We have different ethnicities. We have different opinions and backgrounds. And I was actually talking about this just the other day with a few friends of ours. And I don't know whether you grew up with this acronym. And it talks about this four letters that used to be, I think it was done around about in 1886, but it's kind of emerged again in the year 2000s. And there's this thing, it became a hit, became a bracelet actually. And I think we should bring it back at church, or at least even just think about it. It's this. WWJD. No, it's not a website. WWJD is... That is the standard. You want to live your life every day following Jesus, then what would Jesus do in that situation? What would Jesus say in that situation? What would Jesus do? How would he treat this person? How would he speak to that person? How would he see about this person? We need to live our life not by what we feel or think. That is okay, but we need to live our life by the foundational statement of what would Jesus do. When it comes to our Christian walk, we've been taught by a lot of people, you know, by parents, you know, we have, you know, people have deposited a few things on us. But can I encourage you? I'm not saying disrespect the people thing, but you now have your own life and God's truth is deposited in you. And you need to follow that. Because you know what? When you, there's a lot of people being swayed by the things that have been taught, but they're not really the truth. So you need to base it on the standard of what would Jesus do. Number three, truth hurts. Truth hurts. Have you ever been confronted with the truth? I do many a times and I run away from it because it really hurts. I don't know about you, but people don't really want to readily hear the truth anymore. But with the truth, what it does, it also helps. Can I say this though? Just because you have and you know the truth doesn't give you the license just to go around hurting people just because you know the truth. There's wisdom in that. You know, you don't just suddenly go up and say, hey, you know that dress you're wearing, that just like, that looks terrible on you. And you know your voice, that you suck at singing. Like, you don't just say that, right? You have wisdom. You have wisdom. You know what? Can I just say this? If you attend this church and you call this church your home, you will at some point, and every single Sunday, will be confronted with the truth, will be challenged by the truth. Because you know what? My job, our job as pastors, is not to make you feel comfortable. Is to make you feel better. Is to challenge you to change. Sometimes in this pulpit, you'll cheer me on. You'll cheer Pastor Tony on when he preaches, and every other person that preaches on this stage. But there will be times where you will roll your eyes. You will murmur under your breath. You will squirm in your seat. And you'll say, did she really say that? What is she? And then you'll turn around and say, did he really say that? And you'll start to begin this journey of like the challenge, because the truth hurts. Because this, the word of God, is offensive. Offensive for you not to run away, but offensive enough for you to change. Because God did not save you just so that you can be just the same as you are. God saved you so that you can move your life forward. There'll be some ouch moments. Because you know what? There are too many Christians that are comfortably on their way to an eternity away from God. If we don't challenge you, who will? Too many decisions and actions are being made out of convenience, not and comfort, rather than convictions. And the convictions that we have must be grounded on the Word of God. Not some ideology. It's not something that I've seen on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, whatever it is out there. It must be in here. So when someone says something to you that is not quite right, you go, can I just have a look at that? Where did you find that? Question it. And then begin the conversation. You know, I think that's not quite true. Let me show you where. In the book of... And that's how you begin the journey of learning with one another. Don't just take it for what it's worth, but take it and base it on the reality, the standard on which reality is measured. So can I appeal to you? When you get offended, when you get convicted, when you're confronted with the truth, which is based on the Word of God, can you not run away? Can you not go and hide and isolate because, oh, like, I'm not going back to that church. It's just, you know, like, whatever. I see this time and time again. I've been in this church for quite a long time and I've seen all sorts of things. Don't run away. Because you got uncomfortable because you are challenged by the truth. And people don't like being hurt because their pride gets in the way, you know, our egos. But let's embrace the challenge and be a church that embraces the truth, because you know that we're going to be in a better place. Let's not water down truth for convenience or for comfort, but let's call for what it is: truth and truth, lie and lie. The Word of God convicts you not to expose you, but it challenges you to change you. Don't change God's Word to meet your lifestyle. Change your lifestyle to be in line with God's Word. Too many people saying, they want to change the Bible, but they don't want to change their behavior. Don't be comfortable, but be guided by the truth. Can we all stand, please? Be guided by the truth of the Word of God. So this week, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Because it's not the truth that you know that sets you free. It's the truth that you do that sets you free. Are you wearing the belt of truth this morning? Or have you loosened it a little bit to compromise, just so that you can be in with the crowd, so that you can be at least, you know, be friends with the world? You can't have one foot of the world and one foot in the kingdom. It's just not gonna, you're gonna split yourself in half. So today, I know I talked about that the truth of the Word of God, the truth is absolute, that truth can be known in all these areas, and that, you know, in all of this stuff, the truth can be known in Christ. I wondered though this morning whether you know. It's because you can't wear the belt of truth when you don't know the truth. You know, we might know the truth in our head, but do we know it in our heart? And this is the challenge that I'm trying to come across to you today, is that sometimes we compromise little by little. Don't change the Bible, but change the way, your behavior. You know, I just feel that there's so many people, and maybe, you know, friends that you know and people online, you're getting way too comfortable. You're getting way too comfortable. And you know what? You're not going to be ready if you're comfortable. You've got to be ready, on guard right now, because at any minute, and I know this has been preached for 1,000 whatever million of years, that Jesus is coming back. He is. But are you ready? Are we ready as a church? Are we founded on truth? Are we wearing the truth? Or have we released a little bit of our belt to compromise with the world? And so today I want to just take a moment. If you want to know the truth, and the truth is Jesus, before you can wear the belt of truth, you got to know who He is, because truth is a person. And the truth of the matter is, God loves you so much. He loves you. He loves you that even if you're the only one that He had to die for, He will do it. And so this morning, I wonder if you know the truth. I wonder if, you know, in your heart, you say, yeah, I know Jesus. You know, I go to church. I read my Bible. Remember, they're just all things that you think that you do. But I wonder if it's that something that's not just in your head, but it's something that you live daily. Well, everyone, is just, let's just give some time and moment and lean into this worship. But I really believe that there are people here today that have compromised the truth. They've released their belt a little. And I feel God is saying to each and every one of us is that it's time to tighten up. Don't release it, but to tighten your belt. So if that's you today, I want you to slip up your hand right now, and I'm going to pray for you. There's no judgment, but it's just about we're changing our behavior in line with the Word of God. So if that's you today, I want you to slip up your hand right now, because you don't know the Word of God, the truth of God in you. If that's you right now, I want you to slip up your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in this moment, Lord God, thank you for your Word. Thank you that you are the Word, Father. You are truth. You are the way. You are the life. And Lord God, we can come to you today, Father God, knowing that when we have compromised a little, Father, I thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And so this morning, Lord, we lay at your feet. We lay at your feet anything that we need to change, Father God. I pray that you will reveal that through your Word, and that you would help us to live a life worthy of of the calling. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just lean in together in this time of worship? And if you need to come in the front and just ask God to just help you, then here it is. Thank you, Lord God. You must make room. You must take off something. And I really believe there are people here this morning, and I don't know whether online as well, that there are people this morning that you have actually taken up things in your life that are not of benefit to you. You are listening to voices. You are listening to things of the world that it's almost right, but it's not quite right. And you have compromised the truth of God's word because it's more comfortable. And I really believe that in the conviction, God is convicting you right now so that you have an opportunity to change. If you don't want to go up the front, that's okay. But I'm really feeling that God is going to deal with you in a manner that's going to speak to you. Because He wants to change you. He doesn't want you to go on in eternity and away from Him. And this morning, this is an opportunity for you to just meet with God, to be in truth. Thank you, you, Jesus. If you want to make room for God, we're going to close the service right now, and the people are online. But if you still want to stay behind, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be here and just meet with God. But I hope that message, the belt of truth, helps you to be in truth, to know the truth is a person, and that person is Jesus. So this week, I pray that you would know with wisdom the four letters, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Thank you to our online family. Thank you for being with us today. But like I said, the service is not finished yet. If you want to be with here, with God, just meet with God and take a moment. Then do that. But thank you and God bless. Don't forget, Connect is group is on this week. And meet with your leaders and talk about what we talked about this week. In Jesus' name, amen.